James chapter 3, let's all stand, please. Let me read the chapter to you. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place bitter water, or sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Heavenly Father, thank you for these scriptures, Lord. We're going to be reminded of something that you, as our Maker, who understand us better than anything, you're going to remind us of some things concerning a member of our body that, Lord, has the capacity to cause both great blessing when it's yielded to the Spirit of God, or great destruction and devastation, Lord, if we're not careful in corralling it. Give us wisdom as we study the Bible. Make us very aware, Lord, in the days to come, what we've heard. May we pause before we speak. May we think. May we ask, dear God, that you help us in the taming of this member that no man can tame by himself or herself. And Lord, I pray that we would take the tongue that the Creator gave us and learn to use it to bring glory to God and comfort and encouragement to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. James chapter 3, for the most part, is dealing with the tongue. We took an entire sermon just on the first verse. We're going to try to do the rest of the chapter, and I'll say in advance, probably not do it justice with tonight's message, tonight's Bible study, if you will. We're going to talk about the tongue, James chapter 3, verses 2 through 18. Now, let me teach you some things about the tongue, because I believe that there are four major things. Well, there's a lot of smaller things, but there's four major things that the Bible teaches us about the tongue. And then the last few verses teaches us how a wise man learns to win the battle, to handle this member that if we're not troubled, we're not careful, will get us in so much trouble. And so if you'll listen carefully, I think we can do this in a timely fashion, and it will be a help and encouragement to you. This is for everybody, okay? Everybody's going to battle this. Everybody's messed up in this area. Don't think that anybody's picking on anybody. We're all in the same boat. And so the tongue probably has caused more problems in a marriage and more problems between a parent and a child, or a child and a parent, more problems in the workplace, more problems in society than any other member that God's given us. If we're not very careful and spirit-led and spirit-surrendered, we can just, in a very few words, cause a lot of hurt. The Bible says in the tongue is the power of life and death. And so we got to be very careful and cautious about how we use our tongue. Young people, I'm going to personally challenge you to really listen to me tonight and to begin to exercise a maturity beyond your years in the character and the constraint that you use in the words that you say. Young people, you may not realize at this point in your life that some of the things that you're saying that you might think is funny, or it causes a lot of hurt and a lot of damage in other people. And so listen to me. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying you probably, your years may not have the maturity to understand sometimes the depth and power of words. And so listen very carefully, because this isn't just an adult subject. This is for all of us. We're going to speak on the tongue. Number one, let me share with you the importance of the tongue. The importance of the tongue in verse 2. Now, it's going to say some things here that I think you ought to stop by, back, take a look at, pause, ponder. The first statement, let's just all agree on, and let me tell you what it means. For in many things we offend all. When you see the word offend in the Bible, that usually means to stumble, cause either to stumble yourself or to cause someone else to stumble. Now, this verse is saying, for in many things we, speaking to Christians, I just want you to agree with this with me, okay? So listen before you agree, okay? Some of you are so agreeable that you'll agree before I say it. But think about it and accept it, the fact that it's true. For in many things we stumble, and that word all means all of us. For in many things we stumble, and that's all of us. Is that true? Yeah, can I get a witness? Amen. For in many things we stumble, all of us. Okay? That's just true. That is. We're a mess. We're not perfect. Every day we're going to stumble. Every day we're going to mess up in some areas. Every day we're going to fall short. Nobody ever has laid their pillow after living a day on this earth with a big smile on their face saying, perfection. I did it, finally. 24 hours of complete sinlessness. No. And you never will till you lay your pillow in that last place that you'll lay your head. Wake in the likeness of Jesus Christ. But you know what? All of us. You know what? Can I say this? Why don't we have a little more mercy with each other than we do? Okay, sometimes we want to hold people to a standard that we couldn't live up to. Somebody messes up. Somebody says something they shouldn't, does something they shouldn't. Okay, like you haven't. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying show a little mercy. Have a little understanding. You never had a bad day? Okay? Don't hold a grudge. Don't get bitter against somebody. Don't try to turn them into the devil because they did something one time that you didn't agree with. We all are in the same boat. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to fall. We're all going to fall short. It's just a way of life. Okay? Save people. Save people. We're just a mess sometimes. And so be patient with others. Now look up here. Let me help you. And be a little patient with yourself. I'm not saying don't confess your sin. I'm not saying excuse yourself or make excuses. I'm just saying that some of you are such perfectionists that it's almost like you go into deep depression every time that you fail. And you know what? You can't. Thank God for the blood. Thank God that God remembers that we're but dust. Thank God for forgiveness. But, show a little patience with others and show a little patience with yourself. So that's the first statement that's made. For in many things we offend, all of us do. If any man offend not, now here's the statement. We're going to get into the matter of the tongue, the importance of the tongue. Now notice this statement. For if any man offend not in word. Now we offend in general, we stumble in general. But if any man stumble or offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That doesn't mean perfection, it means a mature man. And able also to bridle the whole body. Now let me say a couple things about this, and I'm not going to spend much time on it. If a man learns not to stumble much in his words, then he's displaying a level of Christian maturity. That's what perfect means. And most likely possesses great Christian character. Now here, I don't believe in shortcuts, but if you were asked, preacher, what's a shortcut to Christian character? Let me define character so you know what I'm talking about. Character is the ability to do. I like this definition. There's a ton of definitions on character, but I jotted this down and I like it. Character is the ability to do or say or be what you should do or say or be, no matter how you feel at the moment. That's what character is. Character is learning to do right when the pressure's on. Character is learning to do right when you don't feel like doing right. Character is learning to do right when everybody around you is doing wrong. Character's learning to do right when you don't even want to do right. Okay? So, if there's a shortcut to Christian character, it's kind of interesting what it says in this verse. The importance of the tongue is this. You know what? If you can learn to exercise Christian character and the control of your tongue, there won't be any other member of your body that'll give you much problem. So that just heightens the importance of this challenge that's laid before us. You know, I focus, not perfect, but I focus a lot of energies and a lot of thought into the things that I say and the things that I don't say. Because if I can exercise Christian character and restraint in that area of my life, the Bible says that that will help me to achieve Christian maturity and Christian character in all areas of my life. That's why this subject is super important. So we see the importance of the tongue. Verses 3 and 5 discusses, of all things, the size of the tongue. Notice this. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Comparison between a bit, which is a very small thing. If I had a horse's bit up here, I could hold it like this in my hand. Okay? Now, a horse is a little bit bigger than the bit. I couldn't hold a horse between my fingers here. All right. Okay, unless it belonged to Johnny West. A few of you? Okay, all right. Johnny West, Geronimo. My dad called them Guy Barbies. Ruined my life. I put them away, never played with them. I'm still scarred. And just a little bitter, to be honest with you. Let me read you these things that I stole and borrowed. The size of horses varies by breed, but also is influenced by nutrition. Light riding horses usually range in height from 14 to 16 hands and can weigh from 840 pounds to 1,200 pounds. 840 pounds. This is light riding horses. Larger riding horses start about 15 hands and are as tall as 17 hands. 1,100 to 1,300 pounds. Heavier draft horses, 16 to 18 hands, and weigh from 1,500 to 2,200 pounds. The largest horse in recorded history was probably a Shire horse named Mammoth, who was born in 1848, stood 21.2 and a half hands high, and his peak weight was estimated at 3,300 pounds. Now, if we had Mammoth here, watch this, 3,300 pounds, we could take something that I held in my hand like this, put it in his mouth, and you know what? He would go where we told him to go. So the Bible's saying, look at the size of the tongue, and yet look at the power it possesses. The next verse, behold also the ships, which though they be great, so great, and are driven in fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Notice the small again, comparison to large versus small, horse size versus the size of a bit, the size of a ship, compared to a very small helm. Okay, very small helm here. The Mayflower, you're familiar with the Mayflower? At least read about it. That's an older ship, certainly not comparable to anything we have today. Mammoth size ships, cruise ships, battleships. But the Mayflower, they said, weighed over 180 tons. 180-ton ship, imagine that. And yet I could have three men, if we had it here, if my research is correct, could open those two back doors and three men could walk in and bear the weight and carry to the platform the helm that directed the 180-pound Mayflower across the Atlantic Ocean to America. So again, we have a very small helm, a very large ship, and yet that helm is controlling that large ship. Then we get down to the even so verse in verse 5. Just like the bit and the horse, just like the helm and the ship, even so the tongue is a little member. Say, preacher, please, you didn't do research. Yes, I did. The average weight of the adult male tongue is 70 grams, 2.4 ounces. For the adult female, I'm so close to getting in trouble right here. Just 60 grams. And all the ladies said, amen. Men's were 70, y'all's is just 60. 2.1. They got petite tongues. Amen. 2.1 ounces. Now, 2.4 ounces, folks, that's about one. That's 1.5 pound, or 0.15 pound, 0.15 pound. And now I want you to think about that. That means if I'm average, I have in my head a tongue that weighs 70 grams or 2.4 ounces. I weigh none of your business. I weigh between 190 and 200 pounds. That's the window I stay in. And I'm on the high side as of Thursday. I haven't weighed myself since Thursday. I think guys that were with me the last couple days would say I'm probably on the higher side of the high side. Probably pushing 200. Imagine that, 200-pound man. And I mean a man's man. And yet a 2.4-ounce member, if you're not careful, will run your body like a helm runs a 180-pound ship and like a bit controls a 3,000-pound horse. And what the Bible's saying is don't underestimate the danger that lurks. Don't underestimate the power of the tongue. Don't dismiss it just because it's a small part, small member of your body. So, first of all, we've seen the importance of the tongue. Man alive, if I can discipline my tongue, I can discipline my whole body. If I can accomplish consistency in how I use my tongue, I can achieve Christian maturity. That's what the Bible says. And then we see the size of the tongue. And then in verses 6 through 8, I'll be honest with you, there's some amazing verses, and we could take a lot of time on them. But you see the danger of the tongue. It's compared to seven things. We'll read the verses in a second, but let me read the seven things. The tongue is compared to a fire. It's called a world of iniquity. It's called a defiler, a destroyer, a rebel, evil, and a deadly poison. Wow. Let's read those verses. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members, that it defileth. There it is, the defiler of the whole body. Setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Man alive, goodness sakes. That's strong language. For every kind of beast, notice this, the rebel, the rebellion of the tongue, every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Folks, they got the killer whales and they teach them tricks. You know, the rulers of the ocean can be tamed. And yet we've got a 2.4 or 2.1 ounce member of our body and we can't seem to get control of that thing. And let me say this, we can't. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. But the tongue can no man tame. Like I said, we can't. Well, preacher, where's the hope? The hope is in Christ. The hope is in God. Notice it says we can't do it, but thank God for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Thank God that we can live in the power of the Spirit. Thank God that we're not helpless as Christians. Thank God that we can get God's help in this matter. We can't do it, but us and God can do anything. So this is something we all going to have God's help with. You're not going to conquer this because you decided, well, I'm going to do better, or I'm going to turn over a new leaf, or I'm going to be more careful. This is something that you have to go to the Lord about and say, Lord, listen to me. The tongue has in its power both life and death. And if I'm not careful, I could cause so much damage in this day with what I say. And God, there's no way that I can tame my tongue. The Bible says that I can't do it on my own. So I need, dear Holy Spirit of God, your help. Make me aware. Help me to slow down. Cause me to think. May I glorify God, please. Help me to exercise Christian maturity, Christian character. Before I say anything, God, may I carefully consider and weigh my words. Young people, let me help you some here. See, when you ask a question to an older person, you think that they're kind of slow because it seems like it takes Grandpa a while to answer you. Well, he's just old and so he's gotten slow and he doesn't think as fast. No, he's thinking. One of the great things that I can tell you is young people, see, some of you are, you know, you think this battle of the tongue thing all the time. You've always got to have this quick thing to say back out, boom, boom, boom. But you know what? You're not thinking. Most people that have wisdom, if you notice, they are slow to speak. And we cover that already. Which means if you ask them a question, they may take a couple minutes and really weigh their words. That's a demonstration of wisdom. Okay, be careful. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of things I could do for both good or bad, depending on what I say and how I say it. So we stop and we slow down and we consider and we think. And sometimes we even postpone an answer. A long time ago, I got over I got over this idea of feeling like I had to have an answer for everything on the spot. If I don't know something, you know what I'll say? I don't know. Let me pray about that. Let me study that. Let me think about that. Slow down. Be careful. I'd rather give delayed advice that's accurate than immediate advice that's inaccurate. Just slow down. Okay? Some good advice. We see the danger of the tongue, my goodness sakes. Folks, listen to me. I want you to agree with God on this. Verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire. That's not talking about somebody else's. That's talking about yours. It's talking about mine. The Bible says the tongue is a world of iniquity. That's not talking about somebody else. This isn't a book written to lost people. Brethren, didn't it start out by addressing the brethren, my brethren? Verse 2, chapter 1. So, in my tongue, yes, an ordained minister's tongue, a deacon's tongue, a Sunday school teacher's tongue, a bus worker's tongue. If we're not careful, the potential for a world of iniquity, a defiler. Well, we can defile so much. We can destroy so much. A rebel, the tongue does not want to be tamed. Evil, that's what the Bible says. It's an unruly evil, verse 8. Now, if that wasn't enough, did you get that last phrase? Full of what? If this wasn't the Bible, and I read this somewhere else, Brother Joe, I would think, wow, I think they're going a little overboard here. Okay, you know how sometimes people are trying to exaggerate something to scare you into thinking it's bad, and you can just tell they've really gone too far? And that's almost my reaction to this, except I got to back up and say, wait a minute, this is the Word of God. God never goes too far. God's always spot on. So the danger of the tongue, and here the Bible finishes this warning out by saying, I mean, your tongue has the potential of having the poison in it that would kill or maim or destroy somebody's health. Now, let's all agree with that. Okay, let's all just say the Lord's right. And it's not talking about Brother so-and-so or Mrs. so-and-so or this teenager or that child. It's talking about me and my member and my tongue. And that's the danger that lurks. And if I try to control it, I'm not going to be able to. I need God's help, because I can sure do a lot of damage if I'm not careful with this. Okay? Now, the last thing, the inconsistency of the tongue. These are the four things: the importance, the size, the danger, the inconsistency. Wherefore bless we God, even the Father, wherewith therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Isn't it interesting? Come on now. Am I the only one? Have you ever got up from spending the time praying God and praising God and spending time in devotion, and within the hour, the same tongue that you used to do that, you said something to somebody that absolutely was out of order? So God's true here. God's got us, doesn't he? He knows us. He goes on to say verse 10, doth a fountain. He says, man, even in my creation, you can't find a fountain of water that sends forth sweet water and bitter at the same time. He said, if you look at the plants that I've planted, you can't find one that bears figs and olive berries and vines of figs all at the same time. He said, listen, if you go to a fountain, you can't find one. I mean, listen, it's either salt water or it's fresh water, but it doesn't have salt water one day and fresh water the next day, or salt water between 6 and 8 and fresh water between 8 and 9. He said, my creation's consistent, but that's not how the tongue is. Inconsistency of the tongue. All right, we got down through that. We've got the importance, we got the size, we got the danger, and we got the inconsistency. And all of those things we have to say amen to. God's right. He's got us. That's the truth. That's the danger. We accept it, Lord. Now, verse 13 through 18, let me finish this thought up, okay? The Bible then gives us some hope, gives us some answers here. The Bible introduces the wise man. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? All of a sudden, all these warnings with the tongue, okay, preacher, now I need some help. Okay, he's saying, if you want to be wise, now that you know all these things are true about your tongue, and you want to be wise and endued with power from on, with knowledge from on high, who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let me give you four things that'll help you in winning the battle that you're going to fight every day of your life with this member called the tongue. Number one, I've already mentioned it. Please, first of all, acknowledge and personalize the danger of the tongue. I've already asked you to do that based on these scriptures that we just said. Agree with God. Acknowledge it. As long as you think it's somebody else's problem and not yours, then you're not going to deal with it. You're not going to live scared. These verses are talking about me, and they're talking about you, and they're talking about all of us. Number two, well, this is good advice. Let your life speak more often than your words. Look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. By the way, folks, all of you that have studied this, conversation in the Bible, the word means behavior or lifestyle. It's not talking about having a conversation with words here. And we have to clarify that, because if not, we're going to get confused because we just talked about words. But God's saying this: who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle, good behavior, his works, not his words, with meekness of wisdom. And let me tell you how you win the battle on the tongue, and you don't make as many mistakes as you used to, and you start learning that Christian maturity and character when it comes to your tongue. First of all, acknowledge the danger, understand it, agree with God and what he said in this chapter about your tongue. Number two, you know what? Let your life speak more than your tongue. Let your life speak more than your tongue. The more you say, the more opportunity you're going to have to mess up. You say, the Bible really say that? Proverbs 10:13, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In a multitude of words there wanteth, the word wanteth means lacketh not, there lacketh not sin. The more you talk, the more it's going to give you a chance to say something that you shouldn't say. And so you'll notice something about someone who's wise, and that's they're very careful in what they say, and they don't just walk around shooting their mouth off all the time. If I have a young man that's not very wise, he kind of lines up with what the Bible talks about in Proverbs as far as the characteristics of foolishness. One of the things you'll notice about him is he's always shooting his mouth off. Doesn't think much, just shoots it off. Just pop, pop. I don't think. You know, and the more you do that, the more you're going to say stuff that you probably shouldn't say. And so, let your life speak more than your words. He said, who's the wise man and dude with knowledge among you? Let me tell you how you can identify him. He will show out of his good behavior, his good works, meekness of wisdom. He's not about sitting around telling everybody what he thinks they need to hear. He's about rolling up his sleeves and doing what needs to be done. Number two. Number three. Boy, this is important. Let me give you this. Beware of bitterness and envy. Beware of bitterness and envy. Now notice verse number 14. But if you have bitterness, envying, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now he has very specifically identified some internal sins and internal conditions that cause for a lot of damaging things to come out of somebody's mouth. Look up here, let me have your heart a minute. If you're bitter in your life towards something, it's affecting your speech, and it's poisoning your tongue, and you're going to say a lot of things that you shouldn't say. How do I stop the tongue? You got to deal with the bitterness. If you are the type of person that's envious, constantly envious, you get jealous very easily of somebody else. Somebody else got to do this. Somebody else had this opportunity. Somebody else was blessed with that. And envy is a super big problem in your life. You're going to say a lot of things that you should not say. It's poisoning your tongue. How do I fix the tongue? You deal with the bitter. How do you fix the tongue? You deal with the envy. How do you fix the tongue? You deal with the strife. Those are the three things that are clearly identified. What's strife mean? Strife means that there is anger or conflict in your heart towards another individual. Now, that is poisoning you. Not the other person, you! It's poisoning you! And by the way, it doesn't just affect what you say to that person, it affects what you say to everybody. Now look up here. Boy, I want to help you. Okay? I promise you, I've done a lot of counseling. I deal with people. Most of the people that just are constantly causing problems and hurting people and saying stuff. But if you could peel back all of the layers, you know what? Somewhere there's a root of bitterness. Somewhere there's envy, which, by the way, you know what the basis of envy is? The basis of envy is what's happening is it's poisoning your soul, and because it's poisoning your heart, it's poisoning your words, and your poisonous words are poisoning the people around you. Come on, come on. Life's too short for that. We need the fresh water. We need the sweet water. We need the good fruits. We need to use this tongue to encourage and help. There's a lot of hurt in this world. There's a lot of people that have problems also. Somebody has got to get victory in this area of their life so they can go around and use their tongue to be a blessing to people. Now, let me give you the fourth thing. You say, preacher, how do I overcome this? Well, there's a wonderful little list that I'm going to present to you now, and I'm just going to give it to you for your consideration. And Brother Joe, I'm going to hand you this piece of paper when we get done. I'm going to have you, these 10 things that's on this piece of paper, I want you to put on the prayer list. Brother Joe's helped me out. He's helped to take some things off of us. He's volunteered and said, hey, you know that prayer thing that you shoot through the email? And he said, let me do that. I'll put a little thing about the two missionaries, and and he's done a real good job with that. Look, and if you don't get that, you got an email address and you'd like it, go see Brother Joe and give him your email address. He'll get it to you. But I want you to understand bitter envy, strife, where does it come from? Verse 15, this wisdom, so-called wisdom, descendeth not from above. You know, there's people that will try to rationalize and say, well, you have a right to be this way. You have a right to feel this way. You're right. They did. No, that's earthly wisdom. That's not God wisdom. It doesn't come from above. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. For why? Because where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. If you don't deal with the bitter and the envy of the strife, not only is it poisoning everybody, but it opens up doors for other evil works, other evil things. Good night. You just let the devil in. Boot him out. Say, how do I do that? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. The wisdom is from above, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that maketh peace. Now, right here is a list of 10 things. I can probably help you right now with what I'm going to say. If you have a problem with your tongue, I'm going to give you the best advice I can possibly give you. And if you'll do what I'm saying right now, you know, not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. If you would do what I'm saying for the next 30 days, do what I'm going to tell you right now for the next 30 days, I think it would transform your life. I'm not going to say you're never going to mess up, because you know what? Remember what it said, in many things we offend, all of us do. I mean, you know, we're all going to stumble and fall. But I think in 30 days you'll look back and say, wow, I cannot believe the victory the Lord's given me in this area of this little member that's been causing me so much problem. Here's the prayer list. Number 4, ask God to fill your heart with 10 key godly character traits. Here they are: wisdom, purity, peace, gentleness, approachability, easily entreated, mercy, good fruits, the ability to be impartial, sincerity, and righteousness. Say, what do you mean? I mean this. I'm going to show you. Okay? We'll illustrate it. Heavenly Father, my tongue's been giving me a lot of problems. Lord, you've given me the Bible warnings about my tongue. And God, you're right. You're right. I'm about to leave the house. It carries such potential for evil and hurt and harm. And God, Lord, I need victory in my life. I need victory over bitterness and envy and strife. Please help me, dear God. Help me to have a forgiving heart. And Lord, I'm going to ask you for 10 things today. Lord, I'm going to ask you to put these things in my heart. If you'll put these things in my heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. God, please give me wisdom. Please, Lord, give me godly wisdom before I speak. Lord, give me purity. Help me to look at people purely and to treat people purely. Dear God, please give me a peace in my heart. Dear God, even if the circumstance of life is crazy, would you please give me that peace that passeth all understanding? Dear Lord, give me a gentleness. Help me to be gentle with my wife, with my children, with everybody I interact with, even with that caustic, hard person. May I exercise godly gentleness. Lord, help me to be easily entreated, approachable. Somebody comes and they need to talk to me about something. Don't let me get on the defense, Lord. Don't let me worry about self. Don't let pride kick in. Lord, help me to exercise mercy, please. Lord, may from my life good fruits. Give me an opportunity, Lord, produce good fruits. Dear God, help me to be impartial. Lord, I don't want to treat a certain group of people one way, another group of people another. I don't want to treat my family some way and want everybody to be kind to them and then caustic towards other people. Lord, give me the ability to be impartial. Help me, Lord, not to be a hypocrite. Help me to be real and sincere. And dear God, please, would you produce in my life the fruit of righteousness, Lord? Help me to sow peace at every opportunity. Help me to make peace at every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray that prayer. Pray through that list. And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to go out from that day and you're going to stumble. And then you're going to have an opportunity to get home and say, Lord, I could have done better today. So you ask the Lord to forgive you and help you. You get up the next morning, you pull the list out again, and you go through it. And every day for 30 days, you say, God, give me wisdom. God, give me a pure mind. God, give me peace in my heart. God, give me a gentleness with people. God, strip me of pride. Help me to be approachable. Help me to be merciful. Produce out of my life good fruits. Give me the ability to be impartial. Give me the ability, Lord, to be sincere. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And Lord, produce in my life the fruits of righteousness. You pray that list through for the next 30 days and ask God to put those things in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will begin to speak. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, help us. We are all battling the same battle here. This is not something that's for a select group of Christians. This is one of those things that transcends, Lord, through every walk of life to every individual. Lord, it seems like sometimes we can do so well for so long in a day, and then that fountain that had been producing sweet water will turn bitter so quickly. I pray for that Christian that's here, dear God, that's dealing in their hearts with some bitterness and some envy and some strife. Lord, I pray that you would help them to gain victory. Lord, I'm not excusing maybe some wrong things that happened to them. I'm just asking you, Lord, to help them to be able to deal with those things as Christ dealt with them. Lord, for their own sake, that there would be a cleansing. Dear God, that you'd reach in and dig out that root of bitterness, that you'd help them, dear God, to learn a level of contentment so that they're not always bothered and envious of things that other people have or good things that happen to them. And then, Lord, the strife that they may feel towards an individual, Lord, that they would, Lord, get that settled. And then, dear God, as we approach you in the next 30 days, I would pray that you would help us just to pray and seek these things. They're available to us. These things cannot be conjured up in the heart of a man. They have to be gifted by God to our hearts. So we ask for them, Lord, please. Even now, we want to pray, dear God, to give us wisdom and purity and peace and gentleness, approachability, mercy, good fruits, the ability to be impartial, sincerity, and righteousness. We ask, please, in the name of Jesus.